once you have money, then you have choices. And that's the way the society is set up, is that you must have money first. Then your voice is heard. If you have no money, you have no power, you have no notoriety. No one gives a shit about what you think.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the 15th episode of Colors of Web3 and Entrepreneurship. My name is Lum, your typical Web3 host. But here I am today with Zhou Zhu. And today we actually be talking about entrepreneurship. There might be a little bit of Web3 here and there. George, can you quickly give a quick introduction about yourself?
Yeah, sure. My name is George Yu. I'm here currently in the United States. I was born in Macon, Georgia, first generation American. My parents are Taiwanese. I'm the oldest of three. I have two younger siblings. I went to school for medicine, but quickly figured out that that wasn't the route that I wanted to take. I dropped out of college, University of Georgia, senior year, and I pursued entrepreneurship and business. I started importing different products overseas from China, shipping them all over the world. I did this for about 5 years, had a really successful company that we pitched on the American TV show Shark Tank. I ended up getting a deal with Mark Cuban. Shortly after that, he told me to sell the company, in which I did, and then I sold the company. And then now I do real estate primarily, and it's been very nice. And so I'm a real estate developer, general contractor, and property manager. So I have a company that vertically integrates workforce housing. So most of what I do now is based upon affordability. So whether that be real estate, whether that be healthcare, whether that be opportunities, I'm always looking for affordable opportunities. So.
Awesome. Yeah, sounds good. Actually, there's quite a lot there to unpack, but yeah, I will probably ask you a little bit about everything throughout our show. So first thing I'd like to get to know is just get a little bit more about you as a person. So basically, please chew back to a timeline that you feel appropriate. Could be high school, middle school, or just college, or whatever time you think is appropriate. But from when did you, start to form your personality, the person that from who you are today? Quickly give us a quick educational background, your background, Jim.
I was brought up in I was first generation American, so my parents are old school, typical Asian parents. So my grandfather actually came from China, from Hubei, China province, and they moved to Taiwan after the Civil War, after World War II, and then my parents later immigrated from Taiwan to the U.S. So my parents were really brought up in a very harsh kind of, the old world is just, it's a tough world. And so they sort of put those parental beliefs and ideologies onto me. But the problem was that I was born in America where it wasn't like that. So growing up, it was really tough for me because my parents were very strict, no sleepovers, no video games, study all the time, basically no life. I was never asked, what do you like doing? The American way is different. It's very encouraging to say, hey, whatever you set your mind to, you can do it. The Asian culture is basically saying, no, you're going to do this. You're going to follow you in your parents' footsteps. You're going to do what your parents says. There's completely total honor, respect, no questioning. Mm. You're going to be a doctor. You're going to be a lawyer. You're going to be whatever we tell you to be. And from a young age, I didn't quite sit well with me. And I think a lot of people can resonate with that, especially being a foreigner, let's say, in a different country. And so from a very young age, I was very rebellious. I didn't really know why. I just thought maybe I wanted to be a class clown. I think I wanted to just bend or break the rules. I had no issue breaking the rules at all, ever. Breaking the rules actually excited me a lot, to the point where it got me into trouble. I got in trouble at school. I got in trouble with my parents. We were never given allowance as kids. And in America, that's pretty common to see your classmates, family, give them $5 or $10 a week or a month just to buy some extra stuff at the cafeteria or the snack room at school. We never really had sort of stuff like that. We grew up very poor. My parents came over here from Taiwan in 1987 with, I believe, a few hundred dollars in their pockets to start this opportunity here. And so I think my family history has a lot to do with it. So looking back, my great grandparents immigrated from Northern Mongolia kind of area to China. My grandparents, like I said, moved from China to Taiwan to escape a civil war, a losing, they were on the losing side against the communists. And then my parents, for financial reasons, moved from Taiwan to the US. So I actually didn't realize that until about a year ago, when I started tracing my family genealogy and trying to learn more about my family history, that we're most, at least for the last three generations, my family has been born in a country and has ended their life or settled down and ended their life in a different country. So, you know, that's always, that kind of explains a lot about me. Everything that I do now, I'm thinking about the future. I'm thinking about, hey, good times don't last forever, bad times don't last forever. And so we have it pretty good in the United States right now. I'm very fortunate and blessed to be here. I've traveled to 70 countries now, and
Wow,
counting.
that's a
So that
lot.
has, it is. So that has really shaped my perspective on life, the world. And now, in the beginning, I was very poor. So all I wanted to do was make a ton of money. So whatever way I could make money, I started selling things online on Craigslist. I started doing yard sales and buying stuff and reselling it. And I had a lot of fun selling. I always loved buying something for $1 and being able to sell it for 10. And that's why, dropping out of college, I went into a multi-level marketing company. So for all you guys who are out there starting your entrepreneurship journey, multi-level marketing companies are actually a really good idea to consider. Even though I wasn't in it for long and I wasn't super successful in it, what
Was
it
it
did
something
teach
like
me was
Amway? Was it something like
similar,
Amway or something?
similar. It was called a Vima. It was an energy drink company. It took over a lot of the colleges during the time that I was in college. And really, it gave me the courage to kind of take a step out, because I will also say this, is that, you know, you have to trust your gut, your feeling. And, you know, before I was an entrepreneur, I will say one thing that I did have is a good center of gravity in terms of my true north compass. I always knew in my gut when something wasn't right. The problem was, before I got into entrepreneurship and started reading and personal developing, I didn't exactly know that how to really listen to that voice inside of you that's saying, hey, something's wrong. Like, you're not lazy, George. I mean, but you could stay up for 3 days in a row playing video games with, you know, one Hot Pocket and using the bathroom once and not sleep for 3 days. But you go into a science class and you're falling asleep. It's boring to you. And so at that time, that was my sort of gut telling me, hey, something's not right here. But my parents wanted me to do it. I was pushing. But at the end, it's, you can only do things for yourself, and that's what I learned. And so, luckily, fortunately, I think it took me a little too long. I dropped out senior year. I probably should have done it a little bit earlier, but hey, what's life? But luckily, I did get out of it. I went into my own thing and never looked back.
I see. That was quite an interesting upbringing background, but it seems like your family has moved every time, right? They move. They're born in one country, moved to another country. So I'm curious now, you're born in the USA, right? And then, so does that mean that you also moved to another country? Is that something in the plan? I'm
Well,
curious.
I haven't moved to another country per se yet. So I have bought properties in other countries. So I have a piece of land in Central America. I also have a house in Mexico, and I am trying to diversify my real estate investments and interests in also emerging markets, different countries. I speak three languages, so I speak English, Mandarin, and Spanish fluently. And
Awesome.
so I think languages are very important. Knowing how to communicate in another foreign country's language is of most importance. So I'm also wanting to learn Arabic and Russian, those two
Wow.
languages, strictly for business purposes and
Impressive.
getting around the world. Because if you look at history, there's not a single country, city, empire, region of the world that's has always been prosperous, right? America is prosperous right now. In our time, Japan has been prosperous. You know, now China is becoming prosperous, right? Brazil, we're seeing India, right? These emerging markets. The British used to be huge. The British Empire. The sun never sets on the British Empire as well. It's set quite a bit, I think, on the British Empire since then. And so knowing that and reading history and doing my travels, I've just realized that I shouldn't waste the opportunity that I have in the United States here. And the opportunity is not to just have a nice house with a white picket fence. It's to accumulate wealth. It's accumulate assets. And then to transfer those assets around the world to different places that I think could be advantageous for me and my family and my descendants in the future.
Oh, respect. To be honest, I speak four languages fluently at the moment, but I also plan to have just learn two more just because in the polyglot dictionary, I want to become a polyglot someday just for fun. There's no reason. And also I love travel. I've been to 40 plus countries. There's still a lot more to go. I want to go 100 in my life. And I feel like, knowing another language really opened up the world, like a new world, new culture, new door, new friends, new everything, actually.
So absolutely.
So I'm actually quite excited about learning more languages in the future, though. Right now, I don't think my hands are quite full at the moment with Web3 and everything. You mentioned earlier that you dropped out of college in senior, and you said it was a little bit too late. So that's actually quite, that's very interesting. I wonder if you understand your mindset. What were you... So were you already making money at that time already? Was that the opportunity cost, right? Was it too high already that if you didn't drop out, it would be kind of, you basically go into negative opportunity costs, time-wise, money-wise?
Well, I was a very different person. That was in 2011, so that's over 10 years ago now. But I was a very different person than I was today, of course. At that time, I was still very much in the mindset of, hey, make your parents proud, do it for the family. Even though in my gut, I knew from freshman year, since I was as a freshman. So the first year of college, I knew that that wasn't what I wanted to do. But that's the Asian way. You don't like doing something, you just put your head down and just get through it. You just do it anyways.
Yeah.
You don't really ask too many questions. The only thing that happened was that I hit a wall, basically. I hit a wall senior year, and I didn't think I could hit a wall. But yeah, you're right. I was making money at the time. I was already selling products online. I already had a little side business, and I was making about $80,000 to $100,000 a year just in college. So I didn't really see a reason to continue my education in that formal sense, to become a doctor, which I knew I didn't want to become a doctor. It was just easier to tell people, in college, you ask people, hey, what are you in your school for? What is your major? It's just easier to say, hey, I'm a pre-med, I'm a doctor. Yeah. People respect you more. It was kind of a thing like that. But deep down, every time I told people that, I kind of felt bad because it was really kind of a lie that I was in school to be a doctor, but I didn't really want to be a doctor. So yes, I was also making money and joining that multi-level marketing company and meeting. Really, it was meeting. It was changing my environment. It was a meeting all these successful entrepreneurs in the world that were also making money in different ways that I had never heard of, right? I was meeting people that were making $100,000 a month, right?
Wow.
$1 million a month. It was just mind-blowing to me that that was even possible. Once you understand and you see that it is possible, then it can be possible for you. And that's what happened to me. So the next step was obviously to drop out. And the funny story is I'm only one class away from graduating.
Wow. So close.
Only one class. So close. So I could go back and take that one class. And my parents have asked me to. I don't think school is that big of a deal for me because I see a lot of my friends who are graduating college and universities now. You're getting paid $50,000, $60,000 in the U.S. If you're lucky, you may be getting paid more. But the problem is that you're going to be working for someone for the rest of your life. And for me, that's just not what I want for my life. I really enjoy being myself completely. I really enjoy chasing my own passions. And I'm just fortunate to be an individual that has discovered his passions. And I recommend that for everyone to, if you haven't found it yet, just keep doing it. And I'll give you a secret. It normally involves people, generally speaking. It involves people, whatever it is. You can't do it alone. It involves people. And so start there.
It's true. I think it's completely true, right? Yeah, whatever we do, it always involves people, whether it's customer, clients, advisor, pretty much everything we do, right? So you have to do things by yourself now in this world, in this very connected world. So before we deep dive into your current company, actually, I'd like to know, what do you do for fun in your free time? You must be a person that has many interests.
I play basketball. I go for walks. I travel. I really enjoy traveling. I've been on 68 flights last year, so quite a bit of flights. I love hanging out with friends. I love eating. I'm a foodie, so
nice.
I love good food. Like I really enjoy really good food, good conversations. Yeah, I like going to the gym, playing basketball, hitting the hot tub, working out, exercising. I like learning, really. I like learning. I love meeting people. I love learning. I love moving. I can't really sit still. I enjoy constantly questioning, asking questions, exploring, stuff like that.
Wow. It's awesome. So coming back to the flight, 68 flights last year. If I do the math, like once every 5 days, was those like international flights or mainly domestic or like half-half or something?
It was a mix. Yeah, it was a mix.
Okay. Wow, that's awesome. Did you travel for fun or for work or both?
Both.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been trying to find ways to travel and work at the same time, like for fun and for work. Because if you don't align your life in that way, one of my mentors told me before he passed away, he said if you don't figure out a way to monetize your life, you'll always have to choose between working and having a life. So I didn't want to choose. Most people they get 1 or 2 weeks of vacation a year, but for the rest of the time, they're just working. And I do love what I do. So I'm in a perfect opportunity to find a way to enjoy what I do and incorporate some of the other things that I love to do, like traveling. So when I travel, I get to meet people. I get to eat.
Yeah.
I get to work out. I get to move around to different countries. So all the things that I said that I enjoy doing, by doing one thing, I get to continue doing it and obviously still doing business and, investing.
Impressive. Yeah, I think that's the way to go. Sounds like you're very much a digital nomad in the 21st century. Yeah. So currently, I'm also kind of doing digital nomad in a way as well. I've been traveling for the last like 2 months, but I don't travel to a lot of countries though. It's just for me lately, it's just been about Web3. So going to like Web3 conferences and building products, but also working my full-time job. It's been great fun, actually. And I really enjoy this period of time. So in a year, I try to spend maybe, I would say, 3 to 4 months just fully traveling around, go to many different places, exploring new things. So, because I mean, the same as you. When I travel, I meet new people, meet new ideas, and get some new inspiration. Sometimes I'll be able to build new things from there. So
that's awesome.
I really enjoy it. Thank you. Mentioned on the Shark Tank, I think, was it have to do with one of the products that you sold on Amazon? Maybe can you share with us a little bit about that? Because I don't think many of my guests have been on Shark Tank, so I'm quite curious about that, actually.
Yeah, so that was during the time where I'd recently just dropped out of school, and I basically came up with a product. It's called the Wind Pouch, and it's an inflatable hammock where you've probably seen them. It was really popular in 2016, and you inflate it in the air. It completely fully inflates, and you can take it anywhere. And the product gained we had a couple YouTube videos go viral. We went from 0 sales to about 5 million in about a year and a half.
Wow.
And so it was a really incredibly exciting time. My company grew from 2 people to 10 people. We got a call from Shark Tank, and at first I thought they were a scam or just kind of a joke. Well, actually, they emailed us first, and we thought it was just a spam email, and so we ignored it. And then about a week later, they called us, or called my assistant, and she said, hey, there's the Shark Tank wanting to call you or talk to you, so please give them a call back. So I said, okay, maybe it's real. So I called them, and it was real. And they were filming actually that week, the next 2 weeks. And so it was very last minute. And so they said, hey, if you can send us a 5-minute video of you doing a Shark Tank pitch in this format and we like you, we'll bring you to California and you can pitch on season 8. So I did that. They accepted me. I flew out to Hollywood next week. I was in Sony Studios in Hollywood, and
Nice.
yeah, I was getting ready to pitch, and it was honestly a great experience. They put you in a hotel with all sorts of different they put you in a hotel with all sorts of different entrepreneurs.
Okay.
And so it's really cool. It's like going back to college, but everyone that you are hanging out with are people that are also pitching on Shark Tank. So it's one of those things where that for me was the coolest part. Plus they gave you $500 a day,
Oh,
and
wow. Awesome.
yeah, you could spend it on whatever you want. And so
Yeah.
the day of the pitch,
Yeah.
I went in, they bring you in there, they show you where you're going to stand, what you're going to do, what you're going to say. And it's pretty cool. You have all these lights and cameras on you. It's
Yeah.
pretty scary. But overall, it was a great experience. We ended up getting a deal with Mark,
Oh, wow. Not
and
Cuba, right? Yeah.
yeah, Mark Cuban. I wanted Mark Cuban. I think
Hmm.
everybody wanted Mark Cuban.
Yeah.
I was fortunate enough to get a deal with him. Shortly afterwards, we did a due diligence process, and he just told me, "Hey, you don't need me. You just need to sell this company." And so he helped me sell it, and I took the money and went into
Yeah.
real estate. And so that was a really fun, exciting, cool period of my life.
Wow, that sounds like an amazing story. He actually got a deal with Shark Tank, and then he actually realized that it's like it's better for you to sell the company. That's an interesting story actually. Because somehow I thought that Shark is like always interested in investing. I guess they must have done some math, right? Maybe some calculation, and they realized something. But anyway, so I guess that segue is perfectly into your current company. Yeah, so told us, like, what do you do with the after you sold your company, your current company?
Well, after I sold my company, I there was a few a couple years during that time where I was just kind of enjoying my success and then just figuring out what to do next. Really, WinPouch was not a passion of mine. It was just a way to make money at first, and it turned into something that way cooler than that. But now I was, I think, 26, 27, and I had a good bit of money and saved up, and I had made it. Now I wanted more of a purpose. I wanted more of something that I could really do for the next 10, 20 years. And at that time, I didn't have passive income, except for two houses that I forgot that I had, in bought in my hometown. And so I bought these during college for $20,000-$30,000 each. That was giving me about $500 to $600 a month. And I remember looking at it and I said, "Oh, well, I just need 50 of these houses that give me $500 a month. And then I could have $25,000 a month coming in, and I could just retire and I don't have to work anymore." And so that's what I did. I went out and I bought 10 more houses. Okay. But yeah, I thought really about money, and even though I was sitting on a lot of money at the time, more than I've ever had in my life, I remember thinking, well, after the excitement and the happiness and everything was kind of settled down, I remember thinking, well, I'm kind of in the same place I was before I started a little bit. A weird way to think about it, but hey, I'm in the same place. And I started thinking, well, why do I feel like this? Well, why is it like this? And I basically came to the answer of, I don't want to work this hard in my life, just for money, just because I worked 16-hour days for the last 2 years growing this company. Partly because I didn't know what the hell I was doing, right? I just was working hard, right? I wasn't working smart, and so I just wanted a I wanted an opportunity where I wanted to make money, but I also wanted to have fun while doing it. Like I wanted to, there's other things that I was curious about, like my personality, traveling, exploring different countries, right? I was curious about a lot of ways that how do other people live their life? What problems do they face? And one of the problems that we were experiencing at home is the affordability crisis. Well, after I started traveling, I didn't really get to travel a lot until I sold the company. So my 70 countries, I would say 50 of those countries came after that, after 2017. And so once I started exploring, I started realizing, man, even though we have a big problem in the United States with affordability, the rest of the world has it worse. The rest of the world is economically, for most parts of the world, are economically worse off than the United States. And so while I was solving this problem of affordable housing in the United States, I realized around the world, I'm like, wow, we actually have one of the best opportunities, the best countries, the best positions to be in. I'm so fortunate to be here in America. So I started my journey as a real estate developer in the United States. We started buying land, we started building apartments, and then we started renting the apartments out. We started with a 12-unit apartment, then we went to 30 units, 50 units, a few 80 units. Now we're doing 150 to 250 unit apartments. And so really big developments. And it's been great. It's been very fun. I've learning a lot. And now I've my portion of it is the development portion. So my role is finding land, finding investors, getting the plans, architectural, structural, civil engineering work done. And then I have a separate company that I'm a part owner in, that is the construction company, and then they construct it. Then there's another company that I'm a part of, that's the property management company, that they manage it. So it's all vertically integrated
I see.
together. And so that's what I do now, and it's very rewarding. We're helping people that otherwise would not have access to affordable housing have access to it. But now I'm thinking bigger. I've been doing that for about 5 to 6 years, and I have shiny object syndrome, and I used to, I'm sure a lot of us entrepreneurs do. And I always thought people say that having shiny object syndrome is bad, right? To focus on one thing. And I can see that. I can see that being the thing. But for me, I've come to the conclusion that I don't want to do that. I want to have my hands in a lot of different pots. And I believe that there is a way to do that. And it's having a very strong team. It's having a very strong back office. Because I get bored anyways. After I do something for 2 to 5 years, I don't care how successful I am in it or how much money I'm making, I get bored. So I'm making good money with my company now, but I'm a little bit bored. And so I've seen this in the last 10, 15 years of my journey as an entrepreneur, where I know, hey, even though this is a great opportunity that you're going into, your life cycle for boredom is about 3 to 5 years. So within those 3 to 5 years, make sure you're putting together a team that when you step away 90%, you have a team that can still continue to operate. So you don't lose the opportunity, you don't lose the income, and the team can go further. Can I still want to be in real estate? I still want to be in affordable housing, but now I'm interested in doing more stuff internationally. I'm looking at solving another problem in the real estate space in the United States, not with affordable housing, but we have a community problem in the United States in our, and I'm not sure in, oh, are you in Japan now? Where are you?
I'm actually traveling, so I'm in India. I'll be back in Japan in like 2 months
Okay,
later.
so in Japan, they have HOA communities. So if you live in a condo, you have a condo community. Here we call them HOA or homeowners associations. So there's a huge problem with that in the United States. And so I've started a company that is handling that. I've also started a company that is managing property. And so what we do is we buy a 4-bedroom house. I have 10 houses here in Atlanta, 10 4-bedroom townhouses. So we have 40 bedrooms, and we rent the rooms room by room, which is not a new concept. In Asia, that's a very common thing, but here in the United States, it's not. But Americans are becoming more and more poor, unfortunately. A bigger class of the middle class is becoming poor and poor. Rental prices are going up. So people cannot afford to live in a 1-bedroom apartment by themselves anymore. They have to share a room or share a house, but have a private room. So that's what I do now.
Interesting. Wow. Actually, I would like to know, like, what, so after you sold your company, well, you were traveling a bit, you took some time off, and then how did you discover, well, I think you told me you discovered real estate, but you already owning two properties. But then was that the thing that really kicked off your entrepreneurship in real estate with your current company, or was there something else that actually triggered? Because you must have seen the problem. Did that come from traveling? Did it come from talking to people? How did you get those, the idea?
Well, I grew up very poor. Like I said, my parents were first generation Americans. We were not very rich. We were not very well off. My parents are still very middle class Americans. And so I don't understand wealthy things like trends. I don't understand what people want. I understand what people need. And because I grew up that way. I knew what I needed. I needed a safe
Yeah.
place to live. I needed an affordable car, a way to get around, affordable transportation, affordable health care. And so that's where the idea came from. It's like, hey, these America is the land of opportunity, but America is also the land of inefficiency. Because we've been so prosperous in the last 100 years that we have not really needed to be efficient at really anything that we do, whether it's in the government or the way we build or the way we operate our society, our government, our businesses. We just haven't had to be efficient. Asia is very efficient. You just need a small stand and you can make a ton of business out of this small stand. America, you need 2,000 to 3,000 square feet and a nice thing. It's very inefficient. We have
That's true.
central AC units here in
Yeah.
Asia, mostly in India. You see mini splits,
Yeah.
wall units. They're
That's right.
very efficient, very small.
Yeah.
In America, if you live in a 4-bedroom house, you turn on your air, it heats all
Yeah.
4 bedrooms, even though you're just one
That's true.
person living in one of the bedrooms. So there's a lot of opportunity for improvement in America, and I'm sure in every country, but in America, because I'm from here, I see after traveling, we cannot continue living like this. There is not enough opportunity and resources to go around for Americans to
I
keep
see.
wasting all of this food. Every day we're throwing away so much food, wasting so much energy. How many cars do we have on the road? In Japan, public transit, barely anybody owns a car in Japan, in
It's
Asia.
great. It works, yeah, because it works.
Singapore, it's they a car is 3 times what it costs. Cars should not be so cheap in the United States. Nobody's walking. It's just there's a lot of areas of improvement. And the reason I'm finding those arbitrage opportunities is because I go to places like Singapore, Japan, Taiwan, and I see their public transit system. I see the way that they build their apartments. And I see when I go to Japan and I rent a like a 15 square meter like Airbnb, but it has everything I need. Yeah, sure, it's a small, tiny room, house, but it has everything I need. The sink is inside of the bathroom of the shower. It's
Well
very
designed.
efficient. And so it's very well designed. It's very efficiently designed because guess what? They don't have the luxury of all the natural resources and space that America does. And so, but America right now, we have all the land, we have all the space. The problem is we're not having the economic success that we've had for the majority of our population compared to the last 50 years, 60 years of our country's history. A lot of that success is isolated in a certain small group of people. And
So
so
is
for
a
majority
lot
of
of
Americans, life
inequality,
is going
right?
to be tough. Yeah, in the next few years it's going to be a lot of pain in the United States, I think.
Interesting. Well, but now you're planning to learn two more different languages. I guess your traveling is not going to stop anytime soon, so pretty sure you might find your future destination that you like, right?
Well, yeah, I'll never stop exploring. I will say that. Whether I'm in 60 flights a year, probably will not do that for much longer. But I do have a energy to travel. I think when you wait, I think it's important where the Japanese call it ikigai, your
Yes,
purpose,
yeah, your living purpose and everything
your living
connected to it,
purpose.
yeah.
In Costa Rica, it's called plan de vida, the plan of your life. When you wake up in the morning, you must know when your feet hit the ground, from when you roll out of bed and your feet hit the ground, like what your purpose is, what you're here to do. And for a while, I did not have that purpose. I don't know if I will be traveling like this all the time, but I do know that when I wake up every day, I will be moving towards my purpose and my goal. And that's wherever that takes me. In the future, it may be my kids when I start having a family. So I'm open to that.
Earlier, you were saying that this is actually very interesting because I would consider you a serial entrepreneur. You're saying that you actually know your boredom would last for like 3 to 5 years, which is, man, I think very few people kind of realize that. But also, very few people will have like diverse interests such as yours. Like what you have. I was reading a book actually. I can't remember the name of the book now, but it was saying that you progress from an one business entrepreneur, and then as you grow through the phases of life, and then you don't become a business operator anymore. You become a person who runs multiple businesses, right? As your net worth like, goes up, right? As the revenue, as things get bigger, right? Then, so I guess you're entering that phase now where you're actually more interested in running multiple businesses because And here I'm assuming that you're still going to keep control of your current real estate company, and then you fighting the team to run it while you're running, trying to explore new opportunities. Is that how you see it?
Yeah, I've recently got a life coach, and I say that it's been very helpful. And what I realized is that the first thing I said is life is all about people. When you find your purpose, when you find what you want to do in life, I can tell you one thing. I don't know what it is, but I can tell you one thing. It will involve people. It will involve loyal, dedicated team of people that you can call your friends, your partners, your team. And so for me now, the life cycle of what I do, if I want to make money, it involves people. If I want to involve people, it takes money. If I want to have my hand in different industries, it's going to involve money and people and time. And so I'm creating now a team, a back office, like Berkshire Hathaway, for example, the Unilevers of the world. He runs $1 trillion out of a small office in Omaha, Nebraska, with I think he has maybe 50 people that runs trillions of dollars of investments for him. And so that's what I want to do, is that I finally have given up the thought of my life is going to be focused on one thing only, one business. If I could say that my life is focused on one thing at this age, at 33 years old, I would say that it's going to be focusing on the people. It's going to be focusing on my team. And the way I'm going to build this team is I'm going to build it in a way where it can handle multiple different industries, because who cares if you're an Android or an Apple? If you enjoy Samsung, Google Pixel, or the Apple phone, well, guess what? There's an investor or a hedge fund or a multinational group out there that owns all three. That's what I want to do, is that I don't want to just pick one industry. I want to pick multiple industries that I'm interested in, that I can invest into, that I can have some sort of impact on. And along the way, you find people that are only interested in real estate or only interested in transportation or healthcare, and you start building your team that way. So for me, that's what wakes me up today in my current stage of life, is building that team every day, of getting the back office ready to take on more businesses and more different ideas. Because if you don't have a team, and I want to work less, I don't want to work more, and that's the thing. I'm making, if you look back to when I was 18 years old, I was working a lot to make very little. I'm making what I made at 18 now, basically not working at all. I collect a passive income every month coming in, and I don't have to work for it. And that's a good thing, and that's also a bad thing, because if you say, I'm happy I'm here, then you get very lazy and content, and then you start becoming very sad, and you might start drinking alcohol and doing a lot of other stuff. But so it's really important that once you make that money, that you jump back on the horse and you keep going, and you use your time. Essentially, what you're doing is you're buying your time. Now I'm not having to trade 60, 80 hours of my week to go make $10,000, $20,000 a month, whatever it is. And so what do I do with that time? Now that money's just coming in every month to me, what do I do with the time? I could be a bum. I could travel the world. I could just sleep in my room all day. And I think I did that for 6 months, just rest and just relax. But there's periods of time in your life where you do have to relax and kind of recover. But it's really important not to stay there forever and get back on. And so I got back on the horse and realizing the next stage of my journey is building the team. So I'm really excited about that.
Impressive. So, I like the way you're thinking, and you have your whole structure in your life. So when it comes to building the team network, I'm actually curious, are you more leaning towards being an investor, an angel investor, or maybe some other type of investor that invests in companies and wait for them to grow? Or do you actually want to own this business and then be directly involved in the management and maybe sometime operating of the company itself? Which side are you taking?
No, I don't want to be an investor. I want to be a hands-on owner,
I
operator,
see.
and investor, at least in the beginning. So for me, I'm a visionary. I know what I am and I know what I'm not. I'm not an operation guy. Once the business becomes stable and just every daily stuff, I get very bored. I get very bored. I'm in the beginning where the business is nothing right now, and I have to do everything I can to make it go from zero to one. That's where I am the most beneficial, is taking something from zero to one. After it becomes one, it goes to two to three to four. That's just, you can hire people. You can hire people, a good team to manage it, to operate it. But where my value is that I'm a zero to one kind of guy. And that's a great book for anybody that wants to read it. It's by Peter Thiel.
It's an awesome book.
It's an awesome book, but that's the best way I can explain it, is that I'm a spark. So once it's spark and the fire is lit, then I get bored and I just want to go do something else. And in the past, I did not do it the correct way, like Windpouch. I could have done it in a way where I kept the company and I could still keep making, five, ten, $20,000 a month for that business, but I just sold it and I didn't continue it because I didn't think that I could do two things at once because I didn't have a team. I didn't have a solid team. But knowing what I know now is I want to move on from the real estate, but I don't have a team in place. So right now I'm building the team so that even though when I leave affordable housing real estate, take 90% of my time away from it, I can still keep getting the excitement, the money, the friendships, the learning, the experience. I still want to build big apartments. That's super exciting. I just don't want to spend 90% of my time doing it. I'm smart enough to put together a team to do that. And really, that's how if you look around, that's how all successful people do it. How do you own 300 Papa John pizzas
Agreed.
or 300 Starbucks locations? Do you think the CEO is working in all of them? No,
You need
it's
a
a
team to
team.
run it.
Yeah, you just need a team.
You need a team, but also need a very capable team, actually. And then as the team grow bigger, you might be managing like multiple smaller companies, right? And then the way I see it, I think they even hire the CEO, right, running it. So they just basically take the back seat and being the investor at some certain point, so similar to what you're saying. It's actually quite impressive. So, which makes me now very curious, so after real estate, what would be the next one that you're thinking of? What's the next industry? What's the thing on your mind right now? You
Well,
want
there's a
to.
lot of things on my mind, but I cannot actually do any of those things unless I have this team set in place. So right now the goal is to grow this team. I have a couple executive assistants. I have a marketing team. I have a media team. I have a real estate development team. I have a accounting team to handle my accounting, finances, bookkeeping is super important.
It
I have
is.
a payment team to pay my employees. You need a payroll team. So this is just the back office of my life, because any company you want to start, whether it's a restaurant, you want to start a tech company, you want to start a real estate company, or you want to travel the world, you need to have a team.
You need
So
talents.
you need talent, you need dedicated people that you can trust, you need to know what their skills are, you need to know what they can do, what they cannot do, you need to know how to manage them. And then after you have a team, it's like you're managing the team. So now I have to have somebody, I eventually have to hire somebody that helps me manage the team,
That's
because
right.
right now I'm still working a lot, but I'm working on building the team. But I know in the back of my mind one day that this is something that I'm going to go do. So
I see. No, totally makes sense. And I'm sure at the first, I think you're basically going from zero to one as well, right? In this sense, because you have not had a team before, right? Your own dedicated team, and now you're building it. And then eventually, I think, to buy back your time, you have to eventually have to hire someone who would be, I don't know what you would call him or her, like your special executive assistant or CEO level assistant or something, who would then manage all the team, right? And then you just only talk to him or maybe when there's like a, something big, huge indecision, right? Step away from all the operations and make bigger
Yeah,
decisions.
I would say when I was 18 years old, I was working 8 to 10 hours a day. Then when I went into Windpouch, I was working 16 hours a day. Then once I sold Windpouch, I went to working 3 to 4 hours a day because I had all that money coming in. Then when I invested in real estate, I was working maybe same 3 to 4 or 5 hours a day, maybe really working. Now I would say I'm working more like 8 to 10 hours again. So I'm going like this. And so, but it's okay because I don't mind working more now, because I can see when this machine is finished being built, I'll be going back to working 1 or 2 hours a week and my team running basically everything. And I can spend most of my time exploring and traveling the world and bringing more opportunities to my team, because that's my value, is going out in the world and finding these opportunities and thinking and analyzing. And that's really where I'm the most happy, to be honest. It's all about enjoying what you do. And I enjoy myself, my life the most when I'm out doing these specific things. When it comes to marketing, I want to pull my hair out. When it comes to, you know, doing a website and like shit like that, I want to like pull my hair out. Like, I don't want to do that, but it's an important thing that you have to do.
It is. Yeah.
So in order, so I have to have a team that does that. I need to have a team that does all the things that that are important, but that I don't want to do. And so I'm, I guess just now learning that myself now.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's why I said you're like going from zero to one again, because for yourself, I'm sure many other people have built their own team before, like family offices. I think that's what family offices do. They they have one person who manages all the things, but of course, there's a lot of people running the back office and running the finance, finding the new deals and working on investment. But it's very exciting what you're doing. Actually, I'm still a little bit curious about your current company. Where do you think the real estate industry is heading? Is there any exciting opportunities there that you see? Or?
Well, it depends on where. There are a lot of companies now that are getting rid of agents. So they're if you're a real estate agent in the United States, your job is probably in jeopardy unless you're in a very classified niche like multi-million-dollar homes or a certain area of the country where people still want to use agents, but most of it's just going to be transacted online in the future. So I think that's changing. That landscape is changing. I think that for me, I always tell people I'm not a real estate guy. I'm an opportunity guy. I'm a value guy. So I'm only in real estate because of this one thing in affordable housing. I don't want to do everything real estate. I'm not an agent. I don't have a license. I don't want to be in property management. I'm only in development specifically for affordable housing because it solves a problem that I think is a problem. And so I just want to solve problems. And so I don't know if I'll do something else in real estate. I think I'll always have a hand in real estate in some way because of my company, but I just want to solve problems. And you know, there's a lot of problems to solve. And so in order to start solving more problems, you need to have a back office, a team. Yeah. So I think the opportunity in real estate or any other industry that someone would be interested in is somewhere there's so many nonprofits, there's so many charities, there's so many human trafficking, for example, is one. Climate change, global warming, pollution, polluting the oceans, overfishing of the oceans. These are all issues that I think that would be interesting to solve one day. Recycling, get rid of single use materials, plastic bottles, but it needs to be something that speaks to you individually. It needs to be something that, like in the beginning, if you don't have any money, then you're not really going to be helping too many people, to be honest. And that's just the truth.
Yeah.
And so that's why in the beginning I did everything I had to do to make money. And a lot of the stuff I didn't enjoy. Elon Musk did PayPal. He's not a financial fintech guru. He doesn't give a shit about fintech like that.
Yeah.
He used it to make his first amount of money. But once you have money, then you have choices. And that's the way the society is set up, is that you must have money first. And then your voice is heard. If you have no money, you have no power. You have no notoriety. No one gives a shit about what you think. No one cares about. It's as soon as you have a little bit of money, as soon as you have a little bit of success, some fame, then people care about what you say or do. That's very shallow. It's a very shallow way of seeing it, but that's the way the world works, unfortunately. If you don't have something, you don't have a voice. Or if you have a voice, it will not be heard because you're nobody. And so make your money first and then start figuring out how to take some of that money and committing it towards a cause that really speaks to you individually. And it's going to be different for everybody.
Yeah, totally. And I think going back again to the ikigai, find something that really resonates with purpose in your life that you enjoy doing, that you don't mind doing it day in, day out. And it's I can see that for you, that you know, finding new opportunity. It's impressive. And then which I'm actually quite curious. Right now, I'm basically branding myself as the Web3 guy. There's a lot of everything I do right now is basically revolving on Web3. So I just can't help but to ask, like, what do you think about Web3, crypto, blockchain in general?
Well, crypto's been pumping recently, but I've made money in crypto, but I didn't know what the hell I was doing. I invested into somebody that I trusted, that he told me what to do. And so because of him, I was able to make good money. So I don't have any recommendations for cryptocurrency. I would say just know what you're doing. I don't know if that's even possible, but if what you're doing, do it. But just like stocks, cryptocurrency, I don't have any direct control over. It's not like real estate.
Yeah.
If something's going wrong on my real estate projects, I can physically stop, go to the site and fix the problem. If there's something happening in crypto, like I don't know where to even find these people. It's a 16-year-old guy in Russia, you know, like in North Korea, like, you know, I don't know, you know. So it's, I like to invest in the things that I can have direct control over, that I can have a say in, that if something were to happen, I can use my skills and resources and my personality to fix the problem I can't fix when a cryptocurrency is crashing. I don't have that kind of power. So I will invest into some of it. I can't say what, but to diversify a little bit. But if I lose that money, it's a small little bit of money that I wouldn't care anyways. But cryptocurrency is not my center of focus.
Absolutely. And I think now that's a very sage advice, right? You don't want to just want to be proficient and also want to invest in what you're aware of. And of course, crypto is very, and Web3 is very risky in general. So going back to earlier, you were saying that in life, you do have to have money, and then so that you become more noticeable. And then after that, like, your voice carry weight. I think that's that speaks a lot of truth in life, actually. I think a lot of people don't realize that. I think it is true. It's very hard to, I think there's three things in life in general that most people pursue, right? Fame, money, and maybe power. Those are the three things in general. And then I think a wise man that I attended once said that you cannot get all three of them at once, but you can only get one out of 10, and then try to focus on one. And then once you maybe have that, you can maybe pursue the second or the third one. It's very hard to get four at the same time. Unless you want to become president. But again, if you become president or something, then you must have done something before you can actually do that. Obviously, you don't want to become a president by being nobody. Look at all the past presidents of the USA. They must have done something exceptional. They must have been good at something before they went into politics, which is to obtain the power. Yeah, so that's very interesting take that you have. Well, now that you have the capital, you also want to be building a team. I'm quite curious. Are you thinking about being like a Shark Tank someday? Maybe something like that.
Do I want to be on Shark Tank again, or is that?
No, do you want to be a Shark Tank?
Oh, like a shark on Shark Tank?
Yeah, like a shark on Shark Tank.
No, not really. I really enjoy what I do now. I'd rather just keep running my companies. What I do, there's just so much to do that I'm really curious in, and there's really not enough time yet, and so I'm really just focused on. So this is a good point, I guess. I'm really focused on growing this team right now.
Yeah.
I told you earlier in the podcast that I don't like to focus on one thing.
Yeah.
But what I meant by that is I don't want to focus on one business. Mm-hmm. But there are points in your life where you do have to focus on one strategy. And my strategy now is I can have all these other things later, but I just need to do this one thing now. And so that's where I am. And so later on, maybe I do an episode or two if they wanted me to be on Shark Tank. But
yeah.
I would only do that for the publicity, and that's what that would be for.
Yeah.
I don't know though. If it feels like a job, I don't want to do it. So if it turns out to be fun, then I'll do it if there's some opportunity. And I feel like I could reach out to Mark right now or any of the other guys and be okay. Yeah. I don't really see too much value in being a shark on Shark Tank besides becoming a TV personality, which.
Yeah, I think that's one, but I think honestly, I think they also invest in some of those companies, right? They must have, sure. The deals that actually go through, what I've read is that it's very small.
Yeah, it's a very small percentage.
Yeah.
It's a very small percentage. And really, I can find these companies outside of Shark Tank. So I don't think I need Shark Tank just to find these deals.
Yeah, it's true. So I guess it probably may be for both. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. Well, jokes. Actually, would love to hear your advice for any future entrepreneur who is interested in becoming, running their own company, doing their own thing.
Sure. I got 4 minutes left, but I'll do my best with this. So, if you're an entrepreneur that's just starting out, you must find out, most importantly, what you how are you different from the rest of the world? This is a more internal question that you must figure out yourself. Your mom and dad can't do it for you. Your best friend can't do it for you. You must find out what your talent is, who you are, what makes you different from your family, the rest of the world. Think about the compliments that you have ignored in the past, where people have said, for example, people always used to say that I was a good speaker, that I was always meant for business, but I just never took it seriously because I just thought they were being nice. But go back and think about what people say that you're good at that you've probably ignored, and really think about that. And think about what you kick everyone else's ass at. Are you smarter than them? Or do you do math better than them? Are you more analytical than them? Do you see the world differently than them? How are you different than your surroundings and the people and the places and the city? Are you different? And if you're not yet, then find out where you are, because we're all different. We're all original. And so once you find out what you're original at and what you're good at, the rest of the world starts opening up. And then also you have to start personal developing. You have to start reading. You have to start studying books. You have to start reading like books, autobiographies of successful people, of how they made it, listening to podcasts, filling your mind with positive information, because the journey of an entrepreneur is very tough. You know, I will not lie and say that I've had only ups. I've had a lot of downs. I've had pain. You know, I've had nights where I was confused and I didn't know what I was doing, and crying, you know, and just completely lost. And you know, it's like walking down a tunnel, complete darkness, and no one's around you because no one's taken the path. Everyone took the sidewalk, you know, outside that's safe, well lit, right? You're taking this dark alley by yourself that there's a lot of danger. You could fall in a hole and die. You know, there's people that could come and attack you, and it's very scary. But that's why you have to get mentors. Books help you, right, to lead you in the right direction. Mentors help lead you in the right direction. Having partners around you that are going to walk down this dark alley with you is very important. So having the knowledge, the people with experience to guide you, to be your guide, is very important. And I would lastly just say, don't give up. And the way you don't give up is by having fun every single day. Well, I'll take that back. There's some days where you're not going to have a lot of fun, but overall, generally, when you wake up and your feet hit the ground, you're excited, right? It's something that you feel it inside. It gives you chills in the back of your head and your body that, like, hey, I'm doing something that is exciting. It makes me feel alive in the most meaningful sense of feeling alive. It makes me feel alive, right? I don't want to sleep. I want to keep going. I want to keep going. I want to keep reading. I want to keep studying. I want to keep meeting people. And eventually, once you find these things, like, money will just be a byproduct, I will have to say. It'll be a byproduct of all these choices and these discoveries that you've made. Because once you've found your true value in the world and you have the right people around you, your mentors, your partners, your friends, your group, your team, then making money is almost a no-brainer. It's a byproduct of those decisions. So being an entrepreneur is not for everyone, although I do think that everyone is an entrepreneur at heart. I don't think that we're meant to just work for somebody for the rest of our lives as a slave. I think we're all individual people. But take your time. It doesn't happen overnight. Just make sure you have good books, good mentors, good people around you that can help push you and encourage you along the way, because you will need it. So that's my advice to you guys. Good luck.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Final question. Where can people follow you? I will drop it in the show notes.
Yeah, you can. I'm very active on my Instagram and social media. It's my YouTube channel is Just Do You. My last name is spelled YU, so Just Do You, because that's my message to people, is just do you.
Awesome.
Find out what you
Love
are
it.
the best at and just do you.
Yeah.
And then you can also find me on Instagram at the real George U. And so
Okay.
you can find me both of those places. I'm also on LinkedIn if you want to connect there. But I really wish you guys the
Awesome.
best
Yeah.
of success.
I'll make sure
Thank you for
to
having me on, Lam.
drop it. Yeah, it's been awesome to have you on this podcast as well. It's been great. And we're back to my studio. What do you guys think about this 15th episode? For me, it was certainly a very fun and enjoyable discussion. We joked to you about life, entrepreneurship, and building companies in general. I believe if there was an a KPI for the amount of wisdom in an hour, this episode would certainly top the chart. For the next episode, I'll be talking to Emily Lin, who is a developer relation who works at Consensus, which is one of the biggest companies in the Web3 world. It's an episode you don't want to miss. If you like this episode, please give a like and subscribe because it'll mean a lot to me. Thank you for listening and see you next time.